Yes, church, how are you? Are you guys doing good? How was your day? Yeah, before we go far, let's pray. Father, we thank you. I want to thank you for this day. As your word says, this is the day you've made, Lord. We have rejoiced and we still rejoice. And we thank you, Lord, because your peace, your love has dwelt with us. And here we are, Lord, once again to receive from you. We want to surrender everything that we may have gone through today, things that have troubled us, things that have caused pain in our lives. Lord, we bring everything back to you. We bring our report of saying, Lord, you are Lord. Sometimes we may not understand what we're going through, but we know. You purpose for us to be here in such a moment as this. And Lord, all we want is to fulfill your will. We want to live for your purpose, O King of Glory. So whatever we've gone through, Lord, we say, the glory goes back to you, O King of Glory. I pray, Lord, even as I share, that I'll decrease and you will be magnified. You speak to us, Lord. Heal us and set us free. Revive us and change our lives, Lord. We avail ourselves to you and to your spirit. Let your word penetrate our hearts, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are sharing Matthew chapter 19. It's so core, you know. If you look at it, and the things we're going to talk about really concern us so much. Whether you're married, you're single, it still touches all of us. You're searching, you made up your life never to get married. Touches you as well. So we are talking about something so important. And I believe that even as we share, that something new, something different, that the Spirit of God will renew our minds, that it will transform us and help us understand the things we're going to talk about. So I want you to try as much as you can to follow. And if there be any questions, if there be anything that you feel like it wasn't clear, I am around, I'm Silver. Come at Calvary Chapel here. You meet me, I'm always here from Tuesday. And we shall continue to share. If you feel like there's something that I didn't speak so well and you didn't get to understand it, please come back. Okay? And if you have a question and you're scared, ask it. Maybe it may be hard, because sometimes when we are preaching or teaching, it's so hard for you to put up your hand. But that doesn't stop you to bring it. I encourage you to, because I know it's going to help us. Amen? Okay. So, verse 1 begins and it says, I hope all of us are there. It says, when Jesus had finished saying the things you talked about with Elvis, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him and he healed them there. Verse 3. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? I don't know why. I think I've always, whenever I've stood here to speak in Matthew, the few times I've spoken, I've always begun with, either the Pharisees, or the Sadducees, and whatever, testing Jesus. But then they ask serious questions. I don't know to them whether they really meant to understand something, but for us, they ask questions that really tackle us, that cause some fire deep inside of us. You know? For them, as the scriptures say, it's like they just wanted to test Jesus. They didn't want to know, because there is asking a question when you really want to know something. And there is asking a question to challenge somebody. So testing for them was like, let's see if this guy can reason out this, you know? And for them, every time they came, because they had this funny competition thing, funny thing about Jesus, you know, they came testing. But in their testing, Christ is given an opportunity to teach us. To them, it may have meant something, it may have taught them something, but to us, to me, it really teaches me a lot, okay? So they ask him, man, what do you have to say about, you know, about divorce? I mean, can a man just, you know, for any reason, do away with a wife? Now, if you're married, I'll begin by saying this. If you're married, this is me. If you're married, you'll find that there are so many reasons, so many issues happen in marriage. And sometimes, if you're not really careful, or you didn't have a good foundation of getting into marriage, it's easy to feel like, you know what, I would wish to dwell with her and get somebody else. Sometimes it's funny when you're still very young and you don't know, but you just went in for some, your understanding, your imaginations. For example, lust. And so many things. Maybe money. You felt like this guy is wealthy, and if I get into it, poverty will be cut off my life. And I'll be, you know, you get there, it's very easy to want to jump out. You might find what you thought that was there, it doesn't exist. So, I try to understand these guys here. I'm trying to understand them, because some of them may have gotten into marriage and now they feel like, my wife has grown old and I'm still a young man, you know. I still have this energy. There are some pretty ladies out there. There are some awesome, wonderful guys out there. Can there be a way? And by the way, in our own understanding, sometimes we want to defend ourselves in sin. Right? There are times, there are several times I have always wanted to defend myself in sin. There are times you know this is wrong, but you try to say, you know, but God, you understand. I mean, you know it clearly. The Bible is even speaking to you. But you try as much as you can to make it at least look nice. And maybe these guys are testing Christ and saying, maybe he would say something and say, you know, yes, it's right. And we shall see, when we go deep down, you're going to see there's a question, there's something that they attach. And this is what we always do. There are some things in scripture that we try to carry out and interpret them in our own way so that we can defend ourselves to live or continue in sin. But the Bible is clear, and that's what I love about the Bible. And Christ is going to really show them the truth. But even as he shows them the truth, he's also going to show us the truth. Amen. Okay, so this is the answer. Here goes Christ, verses 4. This is what he says. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they no longer, So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. I like something about here. He says, haven't you read that at the beginning, he's taking us back to the beginning. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that before you step into marriage, before you get into marriage, as you prepare to get into marriage, if you really have a passion, a desire to get married, or you're already in marriage, the foundation is key. Just as you see buildings are laid on foundations, the taller the building, the more you put into foundation, the more you dig deep with foundation. I want to tell you that marriage is almost same. If you lay the foundation so well, you can build a skyscraper. If you don't, you make something so it just, you know, ends there. It doesn't go so high. So Christ is taking us back to the beginning. And he says that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason. Now, what reason? Let's go back in the beginning. Because this scripture is in Genesis. Let's open up Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 23. But I think we shall begin from 20. Let me see. Yeah. Let's begin from 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took out of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. 23. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Let's talk about some things here. Now, Christ is saying that this is at the beginning. We are getting this at the beginning because down there he says, you know, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Now, at the beginning he says, woman, where does this wonderful lady come from? The Bible is saying that the man went into sleep and the rib, one of the ribs was taken out of man. And out of that rib formed woman. And Adam appreciated and he was so excited. Just as I got excited when I got married. But let me tell you one thing. The moment you are planning to get into marriage, I think most of us, most of the teachers, we forget this. We speak about things at the top without going to the foundation. Before you get into marriage, there are key things that you have to look at. And I wrote something down here. I want to first read and then I'll explain. In Genesis, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Yes. Now, part of this means that being created in God's image, obviously, Adam was created in the image of God. Same applies, and we've read that. We have the ability to engage into a marriage relationship characterized by love, confidence, harmony, and trust. The same virtues that characterize the relationship within the Trinity. Now, if you look at the first scripture we read where man, the rib is being plucked out of man, which means woman is just part of man. Woman is man, as in the same body of man. That's why they pluck out to make woman. God didn't make something else. He didn't get the dust and mold woman. But he makes man sleep, and out of man, he plucks out a rib. And the rib, he forms woman. For Adam to say, bone of my bone, it's because he had seen this clearly. And he could really see that this is really me. This is part of me. And that's why he calls her woman. As you prepare to get into marriage, you must know that the woman and the man, the two of you, are already one. Now, how do you come to be one? That's so key. How do you come to be one? Now, to be frank with you, you're not going to sleep again and then Christ will come and pluck out a rib. Not really. But let me tell you, there is a role you have to play. The Bible tells me that blessed is he who finds a wife, yeah? For he finds favor before the Lord, and you know that scripture so well. So there is a task for you to identify, for you to get to know that this is me. This is part of me. You have a task as a man, as a woman, you have a task to find out clearly that so and so is part of me. And how do we do this? There are things that have to be in place. Before somebody can become your wife or your husband, there must be friendship. It's not a matter of just going anywhere and picking a woman and saying, you know what? I'm going to marry you. God has sent me to you. No. There must be a relationship. There must be connection. What do I mean by connections? There are some things that you can handle, and there are things you can't handle in life. There are things I can't handle. You know, I have a challenge when I'm teaching. I always speak about myself, and sometimes I go back feeling this guilt. I spoke so much about myself, like I gave out a lot of my secrets to whoever. And now they know this. But then when I get here, when I was getting into a relationship, there are some girls I went to and they really kicked me out. Like, they called it omwenda. I was blasted, you know. Several times I was blasted. But I also got to realize, right now, I thank God I didn't get them because maybe they couldn't handle me. In the way I related, in the way I react over some issues. Dealing with me is not easy. When I'm here, you may think it's simple. Ask Asha, she will tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy. The times I've given her headache and she says, we have had this chat. Yesterday when we were preparing someone, we went back again. And she said, you know what? Man, you're quite a job you are. And I told her, yes, you're also a job. Like, there's things you have to handle. Now, before you get there, you have to know what are you going to carry. You just can't come and put your head and everything is put on your head. No. There are some kilos you can't handle, right? Yeah, there are some cages you can't handle. There's a weight that you can't handle. And there's a weight that is so comfortable for you. All of us are different. There are those who are hot-tempered. There are those who are short-tempered. There are those who are, there are those who react. They are so slow in learning. There are those who are so fast in decision-making. You know, all that is in there. Now, for you to get somebody that you feel, this is exactly part of me. This one will understand me. There must be a relationship. It begins with a relationship. And now, Adam was blessed because I think God, when God plucked out the rib, he really had already connected, this is Adam, and the blood of Adam was already, he's so lucky. He's so lucky because his blood was already flowing in the woman's blood. The rib, you know, shows that he would identify so fast that this is part of me. For us, it's a bit different. She has grown up in Gulu. I have grown up in Masaka, and here we are meeting in Kampala. You get it? Yes. And I'm meeting in Kampala. I don't know what she has struggled with in Gulu. She doesn't know what I'm struggled with in Masaka. Maybe we eat people. Like the Gishus, the people say that Gishus eat people. And I'm Gisu, by the way. I don't eat people. And my wife asked me that, do you eat people really? Like, you know, some people told her that we eat the firstborn. So she thought I was going to tell her, you know, this baby we should. No. We are meeting here. She's a Musoga. My wife is a Musoga. I'm a Mugisu. She has had, we circumcised. She has had lots of stuff. I have, you know, heard a lot about Sogis. You get it? But we are meeting at Calvary Chapel. And now, we are getting married. It's not easy to just go into it that way. There must be a relationship. You have to identify some key things. And that, may the Spirit of God help you identify them. Because I can't pin them down. But you go into prayer saying, God, I want you to, you know, you know your weaknesses, right? You know what you're dealing with. You know how terrible you are. And she also knows how terrible she is. But then you go to God and you say, God, I want somebody who understands this. I want somebody who really come and encourage me in my weakness and revive me, help me change, help me become a better person. Amen. So the same thing is happening here. Christ is saying, you know what? We are going back to the foundation. You have to have a relationship. There must be trust. You must be ready to be trusting the person you're getting into involved with. There must be harmony. There must be love, true love, like real love. I don't know whether there's true love. I know love is love. But there's some people sometimes say true love as if there is love is love. I mean, love is love, period. If you love, you love. If you don't love, you don't love. I mean, you can't say there's good love, bad love. Love is love, period. But then the love that is involved in, because God is the one who ordains marriage, it's a godly idea. It's God's stuff. You don't know exactly how far marriage can take you. But you admire it. Every human being, most of the human beings, I don't know, some don't. Most of the human beings admire marriage. But getting into it, you can't tell the details of it. You can't pin everything down and say, yes, when you get there, this is how you play it. This is how you do it. This is how you live it. No, it's not easy that way. Every day comes with its own challenges. It comes with its own joy. It comes with its own pain. It comes with its own happiness. Every day. As you're beginning getting into marriage, you're so excited. You're looking at her and she looks so pretty, so nice. She gives birth to the first baby and the breasts are no longer sharp as they were. Seriously. The beauty that you used to see is not happening. She has added on weight. She has maybe lost weight. She's not the other figure you thought it was. Things are changing. She gives birth to a second baby and things are continuing to change. And you know, you look at her belly and it's no longer the other. You get it? Right? But for you, you may look so still young as a man. You may still bounce in the city. You may still go around and people say, you know, this guy is. You get it? So, everything, as you continue in marriage, things change. And that's why I tell you, I encourage you, yes, it's good to get involved with beautiful ladies, wonderful ladies, but let it not be the main point. Everyone is beautiful, by the way. I realized everyone is... I used to live in Torola. I studied in TC. And there was a mad woman at the street. And I thought mad women and mad men can't get involved with anyone else. But I was surprised that LO5 of that area made this lady pregnant. And I was like, wow, this guy looked at this lady and saw she was pretty. Even being mad and eating on... So I realized there's no one who is ugly. Everyone is beautiful. They say beauty is in the hands of... So everyone is beautiful. And you can't get beauty and make it the main key because it fades. Beauty fades. But then there are things, when you're basing your love, there are key things that you have to consider. And I pray that the Spirit of God will show you those key things. Because that's a relationship between you and God before you get there. Okay? Now, love has to be a key. Why? The moment you understand the foundation that it's about love and God's love, because I think the only love that is original is God's love that is original. Why? Because it's unconditional. If you get married when your mind is clearly set, your emotions are clearly set, your conscience understands so well that I love her just as she is. She is part of me. She is woman. She is flesh of my flesh. She is me. Just as you love yourself. Every time you wake up, you look in the mirror and you want to see the eye is the same as it is. You want to see your hands operating well. You want to see your legs. You want to see your hips. You want to see everything. And you love it the way it is. You walk out so confident, the same happens to your partner. She becomes part of you. You don't want to lose your hand. You always fight as much as you can to have your hand back. You defend your body. Whenever anything that happens that is in trouble, something causing danger, you're taking your body away. Why? Because you love your body. You want it to be the same way it is. The same is, if she's going to be your wife, she's part of you. She's totally part of you that you do anything to make sure you have her back. You're going to go through everything, but the most important thing is to make sure she is with you, just as you want your eye to be with you. You want your head to be on you. You want your hands to remain with you. So, this lady is now part of you. And what brings you together is you love her with godly love. Now, it's funny that things have changed so fast. Things have changed that right now we go into marriage with different motives. We come into marriage just because you look so nice. You have some money. You have money. You built a house. You're driving a car. Oh, when you make these funny jokes that I enjoy so much, and I like being around you, I'll get married to you. But there are times, man, when you marry, when you get into marriage, the makeup she had put on, you get it? She wakes up and it's not there. And now you can see the real her. This guy puts on suits and everything. You discover most of them, he borrows them from his friends. Yeah, I remember I used to borrow suits. And I put it on, I come and you think it's mine, you know. But it's my friend's, and I have to go back when there's anything wrong, I begin pleading, so on, so you are. What can I do? Maybe I'll take it to and I'll have, you know, to pay some money. That's the truth. This is the world we live in. So it's so easy to manipulate. It's so easy to figure you out, to be crafty and get you involved into something that's not real. So your love has to be so, so, so genuine. It has to go back to the roots. And for sure, that's why I pray and I really pray that before you get married, you get to that point of maturity where you feel like this is not what I want. I'm not after this, I'm not after... If you feel like you're attached to somebody because of how they look, the money they have, yeah? The figure and everything. Maybe because of your lust. Yeah, most of us think, you know, when I get married, I know one person I was talking to, and she told me, you know, when I get married, I'll have sex every day, every day. And I told her, you know what? It's just like food. You eat, and you're satisfied, and you don't want any more. We have, everyone, they have their own understanding, their own imagination of marriage. But until you grow up, until you get your mind set clear about marriage, it will be so hard for you to stay in there. Because whatever you imagine, when you get there, you realize it's not what you find. You find something so different. Now, I'm really emphasizing on this so much because I know when we understand before we get into marriage what we are getting into, it becomes so easy for us to handle. It becomes easy for us to deal with whatever challenge that comes ahead of us. And the enemy knows. The devil knows it so well. That's why most of us get into marriage without knowing what is involved in marriage. And when we get there, things get worse and we begin running out, finding ways out. And we begin defending ourselves and saying, you know what, because of this, because of that. But in actual sense, you went in a trap. You didn't know what you're getting involved into. And Christ is taking us back. In the beginning, this is how it was. You know, it's funny that Adam understood correctly that Eve was born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Adam had to really understand that clearly. And he said, oh yeah, she's woman and she's going to be part of me. You have to understand that silver is silver. You have to understand that that guy is that real guy, not something else. And that's your duty. Because Christ has already given us, you know, there are some people who still say, I'm praying. Let me tell you, God says, whoever finds man, you're already given the right to find. Now it's up to you to look around. How do you look around? Befriend people. Become friends with people. Not with bad intentions. Good intentions. Get, you know, sometimes we look so far away. The real people are around us. The people we have grown with. The people who know our weaknesses. But because some of us want Bazungu, some of us want American, some of us want Germany, you know, and we are caught up into those angles of, I'm still looking for. And we have these chains in church. We have these chains. I love her. She also loves somebody else. So the chain is going on. Man, I want to be your husband. I also want to be your wife. The other way, it's like one way. Not looking back, not looking around us and seeing what is God saying. What's happening around us? Who are these people that are near us? Maybe they know even much more better than the German guy. Maybe they know you much better than the guy you thought. I have no hard feelings with getting married to a Mzungu. It's good. Okay? But I just want to make my points a little clear, right? Please don't hold me against that. Okay. So you, before you begin rhyming around and running, putting people into, you know, looking at their status and saying, this guy looks poor. You go and the guy has one car room. No, look at exactly. Maybe they have the potential. Maybe they have the potential. They may have one room. But if you put your minds together, God is going to bless you. There is some divine favor that no one can explain that reigns upon your lives the moment you get the right person. There is a peace that no money can buy when you get involved with the right person. There is love that no car can be compared to when you get the right person. I'm telling you, the money, the buildings, everything, you get satisfied of them and run away from them. But when you get true love, I thank God I got Asha. To be frank with you, I thank God I got Asha. Because I know when we sit down, you know, at times you realize maybe, at first I thought maybe I'm not going to be able to love her. But I realize whenever I get back home, even when we have quarreled, even when we've had an issue, now there is quarreling in marriage. Yeah. Yeah, there is real quarreling in marriage. But after quarreling, you know, we hug one another and she really, like frankly, not like these things of manipulating. You get it? And I'm like, God, thank you gave me this white lady. There are fights, man. There are real fights. There are times they serve you food and they just stand here and throw it on your table. So Christ is taking us back, and I want us to understand this. That before you get into marriage, please, please make sure these are your best friend. The people you're getting involved with, let them be your best friend. Because with a best friend, it will be easy. It will be easy to handle. Best friend with no strings attached. With nothing else. Let them be flesh. Somebody you fight when you fight, you wake up and say, I'm sorry. It will be so easy for you to go on your knees and say, please forgive me. I'm sorry I said those words. But there are people you get involved with. I've seen relationships. I've seen people. There are people that got involved with and they say, me to tell her, me to say, I'm sorry. If she wants, she will come. Let her go. Let her go. She will see the world and come back. And that's how they feel, because there was no love involved. What they found was not what they thought. And the wife is also saying, you think, eh? Let him come. He will cook for himself. He will do it for himself. I'm not going to do anything. Yes, let Christ have mercy on us. And that's it. Like, family has been messed up. Things are crazy. But the person you love, the person who is a friend to you, you can't live. It's so hard for me. When Asha messes me up, it's very hard for me to come to church and feel comfortable. That's the truth. There was a time we got some issues at home. And I tried to run away from them. I tried to just ignore everything. But I came in a taxi and my mind was ringing back. You know, and I felt like I didn't have any peace. And I left early. I felt like I was sick. Until I went back and told Asha, you know what? No, let's talk about the thing. You can't sleep in bed with... You can't. I mean, you just feel something. We have to sort it out. There are some things. It's funny. There's a time, something so minor. And I kept it to myself. I thought, you know, I'll say it here. Because I also told it to her. I laughed at a Muslim guy in Bulova. I stay in Bulova. This guy was putting on a kanzu. Now, they dig those trenches, you know them. Eh? Now, he forgot that he had a kanzu, and he was trying to jump the trench. Then the kanzu caught the legs, and it fell in. It was so hard to avoid laughing, so I laughed. But then the next day, I think we were going on some kwanjula somewhere, and I also came with a kanzu. But Asha was not there. And when I forgot I had it, I also tried to jump and I fell in the trench. So I went back home and said, I'm not going to tell Asha, because if I say, she's going to laugh. Kept to myself one day. But 2 days I feel I have to say it. Like, can you imagine? I have to say it. Like, it doesn't even touch her. But I felt guilt until I woke up Asha in the night and told her, you know what? I feel like I have to tell you this, but I even don't know why. I fell in a tree. And she laughed. I said, that's the reason why. But when I said it, I felt peace. And I was like, no, why? This, even if I wouldn't speak it out, it wouldn't hurt us. You get it? When there is love, you feel like you want to share everything. If the day has been good, you want to bring that joy on the table and celebrate it together. If it has been bad, at times I've had tough issues with people here, and I fail to speak into their eyes and tell them, man, this is it. But I go back and tell Asha, you know what? I was mad with this guy. And Asha is like this, the guy I'm talking to. You get it? So they become part of you. You feel like this part has to know that this is what I'm going through. This part has to know that this is what I'm involved in right now. You can't run away from it. The moment you don't see that affecting you, then, my friend, maybe you're in the wrong place. Because there has to be that flow of friendship, of love, true love. Amen. And so Christ is taking us back. Now, there are some things I want to speak about this. The result of this recognition involves not only leaving one's parents, but a meaningful uniting with one's wife, which gives status to the wife and the husband, and whatever they have is theirs since they are one. Now, the moment you accept, okay, and leave your parents' home, it doesn't end there. There is also the uniting. There's also the uniting and becoming what? One. Now, when you become one, you have to learn. You have to learn to know that everything that you have, everything that she has, is for you. Now you're one. You know, the Bible amazes me. When you read the Bible, it says, and Adam knew Eve. It doesn't say, and Adam had sex with Eve. And Adam knew Eve. And when they got to know one another, they begot or they gave birth. When you look at that word, know, it goes deeper than just saying, hello, you're Silver. Hello, you're John. No. Knowing is getting involved, getting into somebody's real life. And it goes to an extent of sleeping together. That's how the Bible speaks of it. You go and find. King James Version says, and they knew, and he knew him. And they begot somebody. It's not just a matter of just saying, hi. Hey, Ivan, how are you? Hey, man. No. Knowing is much deeper. You go into their mess. You tackle everything and get to realize what these people are. You get all the details of everything they're involved in. And to an extent, with marriage, you become one. Amen. So they knew one another. They became one. And when you become one, everything that you have is now yours. Now you don't say, don't use my car. That house is mine. When you begin that language, there's something wrong. There's something wrong, okay? Okay, let's go back to our scripture. Before we go far, he says, and they created them male and female. I want to tell you that marriage is designed for man and woman. Man and woman. God is not stupid. God knew and he knows. Marriage is made for man and woman. Not homosexuals. Not woman to woman, not man to man. It's man and woman. That's how serious it is. And before we even go far, divorce violates the original intention of God's plan for marriage. It's between man and woman. And any separation, any divorce, it violates. You see that in details. But I want to make it clear right now. It violates the intentions. The original intentions of God's plan for marriage. Amen? Okay. So God's will is that a man leaves his parents and unites with his wife. The leaving is commanded. The leaving of a man leaving his parents is commanded. And the uniting indicates that from the time they are married, the two are glued together by their marriage covenant. So the moment you leave and you cling to, mostly we Christians, sometimes we want to compare ourselves with the worldly people. But if you're here and you're born again, I want to tell you, the moment you think seven times before you get into marriage, why are you going into it? Are you just trying things and then you want to run out? You're wrong. The moment you agree, pop, the moment you, man, you, lady, leave your parents' home and get involved and make the covenants, then you are glued until death does your part. Amen? But then, we come to our point then. Verse 7, look at it, says, maybe I'll begin with 6. 6 says, so there are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. That's what he's saying. And now, verse 7. Why then, they asked, did Moses command a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Now, listen to me clearly. These Pharisees correctly understood Jesus to be saying that once a man and woman have agreed to be married, then the covenant remains binding at all times, in all seasons, and that's why they asked this question. So because he has sealed it and said they are glued together, now they are trying to find their way out. They go back and they quote Deuteronomy. They quote Deuteronomy, open Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 to 4. They quote it and say, but why did Moses? Why did Moses say, you know what? It's okay when things are terrible and they're messed up, you can find a certificate and come with it and we shall allow you separate. So they want Jesus to be pinned down to this point. But look at Jesus. I like how Jesus says. Now, Deuteronomy says this. If you're there, it says, maybe I'll get there also, so I can read it so well. Deuteronomy 24. Okay, it says, if a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her and sends her from his house. And if after she leaves his house, she becomes the wife of another man. So here, Moses is affirming something. But why is Moses doing this? And yet Christ is saying it began in the beginning. This is how it is, and you are glued to one another. Let me tell you one thing. When you look at the context of Deuteronomy, you realize that Moses' permission was not based on what God intends to happen, but on what he permits because of human weakness. I want you to understand this clearly. Moses' permission was not based on what God intends to happen, but on what he permits because of our weakness as human beings. God is not compromising, but acting in mercy. Why? Because of their hardness of their hearts, because of the things they are involved in the context of the law, and the things that they were involved in, God does not compromise. No. It's not because God felt, okay, now let me, no. It's because he has mercy, just as right now. He does not compromise with us. When you look at the Bible, it doesn't say that the grace is there for God to compromise with us. By the way, God punishes sinners. It's Christ who comes in and takes the punishment for us. That's why he gives his own son. Not because he does not care. It's because he loves him so much, but because he has to punish, he does not compromise. He has to punish us for our sins. He decides to send his own son and punishes his son on our behalf. And when you see in Exodus, when they put the blood of the lamb on their doors, and then calamity came over them, the point was, we were just covered by Christ. And the pain that came upon the lamb. You come to the New Testament, and Christ becomes the lamb at the cross. He takes our punishment. He redeems us from God's wrath. God does not excuse us. He punishes anyway. So that mercy, not compromising, is what God is showing in this place. And you can't base on that to say that, yes, God allows divorce. No. The consequences are there, and they will come, and they will affect you, and they're affecting us right now as we live. I want to assure you, most of the troubles that have happened, the things we're going through, divorce has been part of it, and we are punished. And by the grace of God and the mercy of God, maybe we can room and go through it, for us who understand the mercy of God anyway. Amen. So, Moses gave the permission because humans can be hard-hearted in their dealings with each other. But let me tell you one thing. Divorce and remarriage constitute adultery. I want to assure you that. Divorce, as long as you go into divorce, his point is not for you to divorce. It's not like when things wasn't, no. His point, when you look at that scripture very well and you understand so clearly, he's showing you how serious marriage is, how it is seriously. Before you get into it, you have to know it's a serious issue. And it's serious because it's God. God is involved in it. And let me tell you one thing. We can have all the excuses. We can gather all the witnesses. We can get how terrible our husbands have been, our wives have been to us. And we can go to court and say, yes, we have proof 100%. And those guys try as much as they can. The judges, they stand and judge and say, yes, separate. The truth remains, the true judge is Jesus Christ. It's God who initiated marriage. He is the final judge because he sees the heart. He does not see the people you bring. You can cover up. In fact, you can give them money and they defend you. And you who has been in the wrong can be brought as the right person. But I thank God for Jesus Christ, for his mercy. I thank him because he is the right judge. He knows the heart. He understands our hearts. The way we treat our fiancés, the way we treat our wives, the way we treat our people in relationship, Christ knows deeper than anyone else. And he's the one going to judge because he is the one who ordains marriage. So, as you think about anything, I want you to know that he is the one who initiates marriage, not those judges in court. And he's the one that will judge at the end of the day. Amen. He's the one that will come and say, okay, this is it. And let me tell you, Jesus Christ is saying you have to deal with it. Now, let me show you something. If you truly base on love, you can avoid this. If the love was true, you can avoid divorce. No matter what comes, no matter what storms, you can. If you got a best friend as you went into marriage, you can survive divorce. you can survive. You can go through everything. But the more you go into it, the more you come closer to one another. The more you love one another. The more you grow spiritually in love. And that's what it's meant. Troubles come to build us. How many of you agree with me that the troubles you've gone through have helped you understand God even much more better than you did? If you know it, put up your hand. If you've gone through some things that you know these things have helped you understand Christ more than you used to, pull up your hand. The same thing with marriage. Whatever comes is not to separate you. Whatever comes is to continue to help you grow. You're being refined as it's in marriage. He is refining you so that you can become pure. So when you stand, you are pure. But some of us think that the troubles come to break us apart. No. And let me tell you, the troubles are coming. They're already there. You don't need to look for trouble. It will just get, it knows your address. Just sitting there tomorrow morning, you see it knocking. Amen. Okay. Now, let's continue. I want to finish this because I want us to pray for marriages and our families. Look down there. When they asked, why then, they asked, did Moses command the man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Jesus replied, listen to this. Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning, just as we saw in the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, and marries another woman, commits adultery. Now, there is a point there that I know you may say, and I want to make that so clear. Jesus is saying, you know what? Except, I know that's the most important thing we are quoting here. For marital unfaithfulness, that's, you know, getting involved in adultery or stuff like that. But I want to clearly clear out this. And please help me understand this. That Christ's point here does not come for you to divorce. No. In fact, the least thing that he is about is divorce. I want to repeat this again. And I said it before. The least thing here is divorce. The main thing here is, this is how serious marriage is. And now, let me show you. If you truly love somebody and you know they are part of you, just as we began from the beginning, and you're saying, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Then, if there is true love, Christ's love, it bears all things. Oh, God. The Bible tells me that love bears all things. It's not harmful. It doesn't cause anything. It's there to bear. Amen. Now, if you love somebody, first and foremost, you will not want to hurt them. You will not want to get involved in anything that hurts them. You will not want to see them feel sad or sorrow. You always want to be in peace with these people. But that's the same thing with Christ and we, the church. It's not because you can't sin. By the way, you're already sinning. We sin even without knowing. But the thing that keeps us trying to pursue holiness is because we love Christ, not because he's going to come and strike us dead. No, he won't, by the way. But the truth is, because of his grace, thank God. But because I do love Christ, I deal with everything that I have to do to see that I'm holy and righteous, and I seek holiness and righteousness
just because I love him, because he first loved me.
I hope you understand what I'm talking about.
No one is going to cane you to go and seek holiness. No one is going to make you righteous. It's up to you. Right now, you can get out of this place and go to the top pub and buy whoever prostitute you want. Right now, you can go and steal. Right now, you can go and do anything. And to be frank with you, tomorrow, you can come back here and praise in the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's okay. You think it's okay. We do this. We lie. We sin. But we try as much because we love Christ. The guilt that we get when we sin and feel conviction of coming out of sin is because we love Christ and he loves us. And that makes us to try to avoid every sin as much as we can. Because of that love, the same love of Jesus Christ, the same love is the same love in marriage, that as when you love your wife, when you love your husband, you don't want to get involved into anything that harms them. You want to be in peace.
Romans chapter 13, verses 8. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 13, verses 8, 14. This is what it says. Let not debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments they may be, are summed up in this one rule. So these guys were going in Deuteronomy because it's the laws and how things were. But the truth, Christ is saying, you know what? In love, you seal off all these commandments. And it shows you can't commit murder, nor adultery. If you love somebody truly, true love, then you can avoid divorce. Because he's saying that the only thing that can is when they have not been faithful. But let me tell you, when you know that marriage is gluing to somebody in love until death does you part, when you get there, you want to love them until death does you part. It's because we don't know that's when we get involved, thinking we shall get money, we shall, you know, be wealthy, we shall get fame, we shall become these wonderful superstars. And we don't find it there. But when love is involved, that's why I told you, you can't love somebody who is not your best friend. Why? For love does not just come from nowhere. There is that love that, you know, there is love that is built within.
Amen.
Let's continue down and we finish this. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Verses 10, love does not harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Amen? It's the fulfillment of the law. And I want us to know that. I am telling you, if you have true love, your marriage is going to grow strong. Why? The love, relationship is the foundation of marriage, true marriage. True love, Christ love, is the foundation of marriage. Because it doesn't go away. It doesn't seek harm. No, it seeks for peace. And I'm telling you, the only difference that makes a home is that peace, that when you go back home, you feel peace at home. Amen. Another scripture as I finish up. 1 Corinthians, just flip there. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is Paul. He's speaking to these people who are married. I want to show you something here. Verses 1, it says, Now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry. But since there is so much immorality, he's writing to the Corinthian church, and they had issues they were dealing with, mostly in marriage. And this was immorality. Each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife whose body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. The wife whose body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. He's speaking about, you know, sex. Sex is good, by the way. Sex is good. Very good. I love it so much. Yes. Yes. Sex is good when you're married. It's good. And I'm telling you, when you get into marriage, you'll see if it's not there, it affects. Let me tell you the truth. Because I came here to speak the word. Okay? But sex out of marriage, it's so harmful. And the worst thing is that it harms your soul. It affects your soul. When you read the Bible, you'll see that. God, it's God who initiated sex. But he initiated it with... The Bible says that the marriage bed, yeah? Something like that. I'm not so clear with that. Is holy, yeah? And Paul is telling them, you guys... Your body, the woman's body, belongs also to the man. That's what I was saying, that flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Okay? And the man's body, my body belongs to Asha. And her body belongs to me. Why? Because we are married and we are one. Now, I'll try as much. She's like my hand now. I don't want to lose my hand. I don't want to lose my eye. So when anything happens to her, it affects me seriously. When anything happens to her, it affects me so much. But for you, if anything happens to you and it doesn't affect you, yet you're married, something is very wrong. You've already separated. You've already divorced. Amen. And this is Paul. This is Paul, and he's telling us, he's giving us details of how this works. And if you continue into that verse, you will see he speaks even to the unmarried. He speaks even to the how do they call it, single mothers or what? He speaks to the widows. Because of our time, I will not go through that, but you can go and read that, and I know the Holy Spirit will explain this so much to you. Okay? Now, let's finish up. Let's go back to chapter 19. So, Jesus replies, let me repeat this, 8, he says, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because of your hearts that were hard, but it was not so. It was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for unfaithfulness and marries another commits adultery. And I've told you that is so small. The point here is to show you that marriage is so serious. If you're getting into it, love somebody. Don't just go. Because you think if things fail, I'll run out anyway. No. Jesus is not encouraging divorce here. He's telling you it's so serious, you have to think 7 times. Think completely and be sure.